tap tap, a tap tap, wap bop tap, a tap tap. Gold Mary in the bag, tied around my Andy for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Me, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I gotta hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. Hockley to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, salad.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to also turn your life and health around. I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able, trusty, reliable assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How you doing, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well, Doc. I'm thoroughly excited today.
Man, I'm telling you, you know, we talk about food, and we've talked about in the last few weeks how they've now discovered that cigarettes is not the number one cause of death in this country anymore. It's nutrition, you know, and yet we're still eating ourselves into an early grave. And one of the reasons we say that we're doing this is because healthy food don't taste good. But today we got our nutritional expert and consultant for To Your Health, Dr. Ruby Lathan, on. And Dr. Ruby has this nutritional tutorial that we need to talk about today that really looks at food. And she says, we got to stop playing and go vegan. What you talking about, Doc?
Well, happy to be here again. Thanks for having me, as always. So I think we need to stop playing with our health. And a lot of us, know what we need to do to get healthy. And maybe we lack the tools or the how-to. And so my new book, cookbook, is called Stop Playing, Go Vegan, Getting Serious with Healthy Recipes That Prevent and Reverse Disease. So I'm saying, let's stop playing with our health. Let's stop playing around. Let's stop playing, get serious, and go vegan.
So now, Doc, I mean, now we call you Dr. Ruby Lathan, and you are a real doctor. Your PhD is in engineering. I mean, I can't even touch that, you know. Well, how did you get from engineering to nutrition?
Well, for the listeners who haven't heard me, I got here because I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer way back in 2007. And I wanted to try a natural approach to heal myself because I believed it was possible. And so that started my journey that led me here. So I, long story short, started researching how to heal cancer naturally, read about plant-based diets, the scientific information, the anecdotal information, made the switch to a plant-based whole food diet, made a lot of lifestyle changes, reduced stress, visualized my healing. A little over a year later, the cancer was gone with just the nutrition changes and the lifestyle changes and nothing else. And so that shifted life for me. And folks wanted to know how I did it. So this book is an introduction on how I did it, in a sense.
So one of the things that's very interesting to me about your story is I remember some interview I did with you several years ago. You said that even after your cancer was gone, your doctor still wanted you to have traditional cancer
surgery. Yeah, just in case.
Yeah.
I'm like, just in case you want to take out a working organ that was working perfectly at the time, other than it had cancerous nodules. You want to just take it out just in case?
And put you on medicines for the rest of your life.
For the rest of my life, and medicines that raise your risk of cancer, of other cancers like breast cancer. I was like, so you want me to take out this cancer and raise my risk of a worse cancer?
No, take out this non-cancer.
Right. Take out my working thyroid that is healed of cancer in case I get it comes back and then raise my risk of an actual worse cancer. I'm like, no, thank you. I left that office so fast. I'm like, just give me my paperwork and I'm out of here.
Yeah. As we look at this tutorial, one of the things that struck me is what's the difference between smoothies and juicing? And why is that difference important?
Right. And that's like the first chapter, because people get a lot of confusion about it, especially dealing with cancer recovery, right? So juicing, the long and short of it is, juicing is when you separate the juice from the fiber. And that makes a big difference when you do that, because now when you're just having the juice, your body can digest that a lot quicker and a lot more volume than if you had the fiber with it, right? So when we're blending smoothies, we're keeping everything together and just liquefying it, all the fiber and everything. Those two things can serve two different purposes. And mainly when we're looking at juicing, we're usually looking at it when we're in recovery mode or trying to get in a lot of nutrients very quickly. So because the fiber is removed, it's a lot less work for your body. So you would want to juice vegetables because we don't want the sugar without the fiber, but you juice some fruit to sweeten it up enough so you can drink it, right? So for example, one of the recipes that's in the book is one of my favorites because it's so easy. And that's one of the themes of this cookbook, is that it's easy. So it's got cabbage, apple, and ginger. Three things. It's not that hard. You could juice a whole cabbage, six apples, a couple of inches of ginger, and drink that in a day. In a couple of hours, you could. In 2 hours. But you really would not be able to eat a whole cabbage and six apples and ginger in one setting or two or even the whole day. So, but you get all of the nutrients and the anti-cancer properties of cabbage and the apples and the ginger by drinking it. So if you're sick or if you have a cold or flu or something like cancer, it would be better to drink those nutrients because it's less work for the body. Now, when we're dealing with everyday maintenance, we want that fiber because the fiber serves a purpose too, and that is taking what we call free radicals or things that start to cause cancer in the body. It takes them out of your body. It takes toxins out of your body. So if you're eating foods that don't have fiber, you're going to eventually be constipated, but you're also missing a very important mechanism of taking waste out of the body. So the two things serve different purposes, and you just need to know when to use them. And that's what's explained in the book. So if I'm ever feeling sick, I'm going to drink a green juice and go to sleep because now my body can process that without a lot of work. But if I'm just feeling great, everyday maintenance, I'm drinking smoothies because it has all the fiber with it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the juice and the smoothies, they also lower the insulin growth factor 1, which promotes cancer. And so by taking in that juice and smoothies, I mean, you're really giving your body those nutrients that's so very, very important. The number here for questions or comments is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. I see we have a caller. Let's go to the lines. Yes, caller, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Dr. Watkins. This is Rick Barco.
All right. Rick Barco from Germany.
hello to Dr. Ruby Lathan, and hello to Brother Frank.
Hello.
Hey there.
Dr. Ruby Lathan, even though there's a documentary about regenerative farming on the market, they're still selling pesticide vegetables and fruits. How do you know which vegetables and fruits to buy, even if you're shopping at Whole Foods?
So there's a couple of aspects to that. First, we want to try to go organic when we can. So usually there are labels on the fruit. If it starts with a 9, it's organic. If it starts with a 4, it's traditionally, quote unquote, which means there's pesticides. So we want to go for organic fruits and vegetables as much as possible. However, if you cannot get organic fruits and vegetables, you still get a huge benefit from eating traditionally grown fruits and vegetables. And some of the studies show that even the pesticide-laden fruit and vegetables, those toxins don't get triggered when you're eating a primarily plant-based diet. But if you're eating a primarily meat-based diet, those same toxins can and have a greater probability of triggering illness and cancer and things like that. So when you're eating just any fruits and vegetables, you're gaining a benefit, whether they're organic or not. Of course, I want mine without the pesticides. But if there's nothing else available, I'm going to eat just the fruits and vegetables that are available because I'm still going to get protective properties from that. And because I'm eating a plant-based diet, the likelihood of illnesses getting triggered by that are much lower than if I were eating the standard American diet. So the story here is go organic when you can. If you can't, just eat the plants, okay? And go on about your business.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. When we juice, when we make smoothies, are we really getting nutrients that the body needs to prevent and treat certain diseases? You mentioned cancer, for instance. You know,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's the goal. Most of the healing properties in foods are in the green, the vegetables, the leafy vegetables and the herbs and things like that, and the cilantro and the parsley and the kale and the collard greens, all of those things. So those are the kind of things you would want to be juicing. You can also blend those things into a smoothie, just less of them as well. So they all have various properties that heal. And that's another thing that's in the book with each recipe is the key ingredient. What's the benefit of that? As opposed to this just being a cookbook about food tasting good, which is very important because the food does taste good. But why are we eating this? And why am I highlighting this ingredient? Why are we eating a Brussels sprout salad, for example? That's in there along with the recipe that makes it taste good.
202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Just call her. You're on the line.
Yes. Okay, Dr. Watkins?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Ron, and hello to Frank and Dr. Ruby Lathan. I've been waiting for your book because I want some of those recipes. Okay, I want to know where can we get the book at?
Great question. So you can go to my website right now. It's rubylathon.com. It's RubyLathon.com. RubyLathon.com. You'll see a tab right there. Pre-order Dr. Ruby's books. They'll be mailing out in about 2 weeks, and you can get it right there. And those, I've been getting a lot of traction. So I was only going to be signing the first 50, but I'm going to be signing the first 100 now to get a few more people in the gate. So if you order now in the pre-order phase, you will get a signed copy of the book.
Okay. Well, even if I didn't get signed, it wouldn't matter because it's still only you. You're only one of a kind anyway. So you can't be.
That's right. That is right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Often imitated, but never duplicated. It was number four, and there'll be none after.
I want
the recipes.
You got them. You got them. Go right to the website, rubylathan.com, and they'll be shipped right to you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lathan. Congratulations.
Thank you for calling. So, now, Doc, you know, salads.
Mm-hmm.
Salads. You know, is a salad a salad? Or are there different types of salads? Or what's the deal?
There are so many different types. A salad is not a salad. So, because usually when you get a salad at most restaurants, most chain restaurants especially, you get some lettuce. You're lucky if you get some cucumber and you get a wedge of tomato, right? And that's what people think salads are. That's not the kind of salads I eat. Mm-hmm. So there's so much more. So I have a plethora of salads in the book because we want to eat our raw fruits and vegetables. One of them, for example, I have like a shredded beet and jicama salad with the lime dressing. So we're talking about raw beets, right? You can spiralize them, you can shred them. And when you put this lime dressing on it, it tastes incredible. It's got cayenne, lime, a little agave, a little rice vinegar, some sunflower seeds. So we're looking at texture, we're looking at crunch, we're looking at flavors combined in a way that you might not have done it before. And beets have so many great benefits, you know, for you. So that's like one of my favorite beet recipes. I almost don't like cooked beets anymore after having them raw because they just taste so refreshing that way. So no, a salad is certainly not a salad. And there's so many ways you can do salads.
So now you... And describing that dressing, dressing in itself is healthy.
That's the point. Yes. So we've got lime and, you know, cilantro, cayenne pepper.
What's the benefit of lime?
Lime is going to be very alkaline. You're going to get a lot of some probiotics from that. You're going to get the alkalinity, even though lime is acidic on the outside. On the inside, it's very alkaline. So that's something that we want. So actually like putting lime and lemon in your water is something that is very beneficial because of that alkalinity. So that's one of it. Besides the refreshing, you know, flavor, it also helps with digestion. So there are a lot of properties to lime.
A little vitamin C is thrown in there too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the vitamin C for sure. Yeah, lemon and lime are great for vitamin C.
And what makes the lemon juice, the lime juice alkaline in the first place? I mean, you know, is it the minerals, the various minerals that's in
right.
there?
That's a good question. It's more that probably the antioxidant properties of it help make that, you know, more alkaline as well. Yeah. We just know that there are a lot of things like lemon, citrus, the whole citrus family that is acidic when digested is alkaline. And the same with things like apple cider vinegar, which have, you know, very positive effects on the body.
So, the salads that you're describing, that sounds more like a meal in itself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And salads can often be meals, as they should be when you're adding if we're doing more traditional salad, for example, like with lettuce, greens and mixed greens, you add your chickpeas or kidney beans to it, olives, sun-dried tomatoes, some walnuts, and you have a full meal right there. So salads can absolutely be a full meal. And it's so great for you, especially when you're, you know, modeling it around something like beets or Brussels sprouts or something like that, then you're really going to get a lot of benefit from that.
And you're going to also lose a little weight.
Yes.
If you need to lose weight, Frank, right. You're trying to say something, Brother Frank.
Yeah. You hinted at it, but do you pick your ingredients, each ingredient for health and for what it does? And how about
yes.
the disease fighting properties? Do you pick them for that particular thing?
Almost in most cases, especially when I'm doing things like salads and things like that. Yes, I'm looking at, okay, why do I have a Brussels sprout salad in here? I have a Brussels sprout salad because I like Brussels sprouts, but that's not the reason. I have it in there because Brussels, like cabbage, are very strong cancer fighters. So I'm always, even though my cancer is long gone, I am always on an anti-cancer diet because we live and take in toxins every day. So I'm like, let's eat some Brussels sprouts, you know, and how can we make that taste good? So how can we make it taste good, but not override the benefit of it? Because that's a lot of times what we do with salads is we get a good salad and then we put a bunch of junk in it or a dressing on it that is an inflammatory dressing or that then almost overrides the benefit of the salad. Or we put ham in it or something crazy like that. I'm like, what are we doing? Can we get a vegan salad at a restaurant, please? You don't know how, anyway, I'm not going to get into my pet peeves, but that's one of them. Like, there are no salads that are just vegetarian or vegan salads at restaurants. They always have to add cheese or ham or something ridiculous. Like, let people eat vegetables, just pure vegetables, and learn to like it, but, you know, give it a good taste to it. So, like, one of my dressings is, you know, instead of a honey mustard, I use like a maple mustard dressing. So we're looking at brown mustard. The brown mustard, I like the one that uses apple cider vinegar. I'm going to use a little sea salt and garlic and a little bit of maple syrup as the dressing. So all those are good things that now complement something that is already healthy, the Brussels sprouts. So
maple syrup is even good?
Yeah, pure maple syrup is good for you in reasonable quantities. So, you know, let's not get crazy with it.
Moderation.
Exactly. So we're like two tablespoons for the whole dressing for, you know, two or three people is not a lot of maple syrup. So, you know, that can go a long way.
All right. So now one of the things that we talk about all the time, people say, you know, I gotta have some meat because I gotta have some protein. All right, are there non meat, non dairy proteins, and how do you deal with those?
Yes, good question. Which I know, you know. So protein is made up of amino acids. Protein is not the flesh of animals. It just happens to have those amino acids in it. So you do not have to eat the flesh of animals to get protein. It is essential amino acids. So you can get that in a variety of ways. There are some foods that have all the essential amino acids. They're like, and the reason we call them essential is because you have to get them outside of your body. The others your body creates. So they're like 9 essential amino acids. Something that has all of those are quinoa. It's got all 9 of them. So eating quinoa would be equivalent to eating meat, except it doesn't come with the baggage that meat comes with. Instead, it comes with the fiber and nutrients and antioxidants and not the saturated fat and hormones and all the other things, the toxins that you'll find in traditionally grown meat. So things like quinoa, and then we have beans, and we have rice, and like purple rice that's got more protein than white rice or even brown rice. You've got, you know, nuts and seeds, which also have the antioxidants and proteins. So we have something called seitan, which is wheat protein, which is very high in protein. If you're not, you know, having an issue with digesting wheat, then seitan is an excellent option for replacing meat because it is has as much protein as meat. So it's like a one-to-one replacement. So there, I have a whole chapter on protein the plant-based way. So if you're looking for high protein, you can definitely do that. Even I have high protein smoothies as well.
Yes.
You mean protein in a smoothie?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
When I put my flax seeds and my chia seeds and, you know, I'm getting a little protein in that smoothie.
You are. And your pumpkin seeds for the zinc and all of that. So yes, you get quite a bit, and then you can put in some raw cacao powder that's going to give you some really great antioxidants as well and make it taste good. Yeah, one of my favorite quote high protein smoothies is a cherry chocolate smoothie. So you have the raw cacao powder, but you have the sweetness of like the frozen cherries, and then you add in your hemp seeds as well to add another 9 grams of protein. So by the time you're done, you have more than 20 grams of protein in one smoothie.
Wow.
Mercy.
And it tastes good.
And it tastes good.
Yeah.
And for those people who love chocolate, they can have some healthy chocolate.
Absolutely. Chocolate cacao is actually really good for you. It's just that when you add milk and sugar to it, then you kind of blunt the benefits of it.
That's man, right. Man knows how to always mess up with God.
Yes.
Well, anyway, the number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Give us a call with a question or comment. Let's go back to the phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Watkins and Dr. Lathan. Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple questions. First, Dr. Watkins, I've been taking a protein pump inhibitor, and I read about some of the side effects, and so I was a little concerned about it. Apparently, I have an ulcer from taking aspirin. So my question, and what is your comment concerning that, your opinion regarding the PPIs? And then Dr.
Well, I never use them. I use simple things like a couple drops of peppermint oil or ginger or something like that. That has a tremendous impact, but the main thing I do, I go and I look at the problem. And generally, what I find, and I don't know if Dr. Lathan has seen this also, generally it's food allergies. And so I have a system where we evaluate the food allergies of the patient and get the foods out that they're allergic to, and generally the problem goes away.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Lathan, and so the next question for you would be, what are some foods to promote gastric healing? And I appreciate both of you. Thank you.
Sure. So it depends on the cause, but in general, we're looking for foods that are going to promote alkalinity on the inside. So depending on, you know, something as simple as like, you know, acid reflux, for example, sometimes just apple cider vinegar helps with that in the short term while we're getting to the root cause of the issue, right? So just as Dr. Watkins said, we need to get why we're having it, but some things that can calm it down in the meantime are, you know, eating things that promote that alkalinity. So you're going to want to eat, you know, smaller meals so that we're not causing, you know, stomach upset that way. But eating things that have perhaps acidic on the outside, but alkaline on the inside definitely help. Having probiotic rich foods also helps with gastric healing as well. So that's going to be anything like, let's see, sauerkraut, olives, those kind of things can help. So it just really depends, but eating any plants or fruit, vegetables that don't cause upset in general to you are going to be very helpful. So staying away from, you know, fried foods, high sugar foods, coffee, and those kind of things also help.
Yeah. Also, if there's an ulcer, you know, ulcers generally, gastric ulcers are generally caused by H. pylori, and so oranges, especially the white on the orange, contains something called limonene.
Uh-huh.
Limonene has been shown to kill that bacteria, so that also would probably help to heal.
Yeah, and a great way to get those in is like when you are putting like oranges or lemon or lime in your smoothie, is when you peel them, leave on that white part and just take that very outer part off so that you get all of that pith and the white part of that fruit.
Yes, yes, yes. I hope that answered your question. You mentioned, in answering her question, you mentioned certain foods with probiotics. Now, a lot of people take probiotics, but I noticed as I read your book, you talked about foods that would promote probiotics. Food versus pills, you know, are there times you need to have the pills or can you get most of what you need through foods?
I think there's a time for sometimes where you may need the pills if you're dealing with an infection or overgrowth of some things. The pills can be more direct and higher dosage. So yes, that would be very beneficial, like vaginal health. If you're having you know, overgrowth of yeast or bacteria or something like that, the probiotics in pill form would be very helpful in those instances. But when we're looking at maintenance every day, we can just eat it. You know, one of my favorites is like just yogurt, plant-based yogurt that's just coconut with cultures in it. And it's a coconut yogurt, very easy. You can put your berries in it. You're getting lots of good healthy fats and protein from that, very satisfying. And with that yogurt, you can add berries or something, or you can make it into a dressing by adding some apple cider vinegar and some other seasonings or mustard or something and make it into a dressing. And now you have a probiotic rich dressing that you can put on a salad or something, or you can use that instead of like a sour cream. You can use a coconut cream on your potato or something like that. So you want to be eating the probiotic foods regularly. So things like kimchi, as I mentioned, olives, sauerkraut, tempeh has a lot of probiotics as well, especially when you're not cooking it at high temperatures. So those are definitely some that are, you know, really beneficial. So yogurt, plant-based yogurt, not flavored yogurt that's flavored like coconut, but real coconut yogurt or cashew-based or soy-based yogurts are an easy way to get in natural foods. Miso is another one that's really good as a seasoning that you can get in some raw good probiotics uncooked. Mm-hmm. And so I like to use sauerkraut and just eat a tablespoon along with the salad or whatever it is, a tablespoon or two. And that way you get good gut health regularly by doing that. If you like spicy, go for the kimchi, you know, but cucumber pickled, you know, pickles. Now with pickles, don't get the ones that have the food coloring and all that junk in it, but real pickles that just are fermented with vinegar, Those are the kind that also have good probiotics as well.
Mm-hmm. So I had a question, but I'm just listening. You know,
I have recipes with all the things I just mentioned in the probiotic chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all these foods are just adding such nutrition to your diet. It's just amazing. You know, the number here is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We're talking to Dr. Ruby Lathan, and we're talking about, you know, stop playing and go vegan.
That's right.
Playing and go vegan. Now, when you said vegan, you know, lately vegan has gotten a bad rap, because you can be call yourself vegan and eat all the potato chips you want. So that's not what you're talking about, right?
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah. And even, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to be bold and say it, because vegan gets a bad rap sometime, but it's a lifestyle. But it's also, when you look at it from, just like you can have a healthy diet that's, you know, or a clean diet or unclean diet, and any type of dietary choice you choose, you can do the same with a vegan diet. This book is about a whole food vegan diet, meaning the least processed, the cleanest ingredients that you can use without a lot of additives, and definitely not, you know, unhealthy preservatives and things like that. So that's when I'm talking about vegan, we're talking about healthy food and the least processed form available.
Once again, the number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. I think we have another caller on. Let's go back to the phone. Just caller, you're on the line.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Rock. I've been a vegetarian for 31 years and vegan for 21 years. Wow. I do exercise three times. Hello?
Yes.
And I've exercised 3-4 times a week. I guess my weakness is I eat anything that's vegan, from grain to salad, fruit, nuts, and sometimes even packaged foods, like peanuts, butter, or something like that. I have a high blood pressure that will not go away for the last 20-some years. And now, the last time I did my exam, my cholesterol went to 9. Supposed to be, the doctor told me, from 3 to 5. What am I doing wrong, and what I need to do to adjust it? I hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
So, I mean, there are a lot of factors that can affect blood pressure other than just salt. So we do want to start there to make sure we're not just taking in too much salt. We have to make sure we're getting enough water to balance that as well. Also, vitamin D, sometimes not having enough vitamin D in the system can affect blood pressure negatively as well. So we want to make sure we're getting our proper nutrients with that. So, you know, I would start with blood work to see if there are any nutritional gaps first, and then, you know, go from there. And then coupled with the vegan diet, we'd want to make sure we're walking, exercising, sleeping. If you're not getting enough sleep on a consistent basis, your blood pressure can remain elevated, even though you're eating a healthy diet. If you're overweight, obviously that can help push the blood pressure up as well. So you want to look at all the factors holistically. Stress is another one, but that's where I would start. Let's look at the blood work and see if there are any nutritional gaps, and then let's look at lifestyle to make sure we're complementing that diet with sleep, water, and exercise, and low stress.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned. I was going to mention it again. Stress is a major, major one. And of course, as we've said many times, stress comes within from within and not from without. And so we got to deal with the stress, but also with the fats. And you can be vegan and taking a lot of fat. You can be eating nuts. I've talked about my patient that had that was a raw vegan, Dr. Layton. Mm-hmm. Her hemoglobin A1C was 13.3.
Oh, wow.
You know, and she was skinny, a raw skinny vegan. When I took her history, she had all these nut pates and all this nut stuff. And it was just
too much.
I took her off all the nuts for several months. And her A1C came down to 5.3, from 13.3 to 5.3, just by getting off the nuts.
And so,
that fat. The number one cause of heart disease is not saturated fat, it's total fat. Mm-hmm. So that's why Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn Cleveland Clinic suggests in reversing heart disease, he gets his patients off of all fat, we have to really look at that. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line. Yes, caller.
Hello, is this me? Hello?
Yeah, it's you.
Yes.
It's you. Yes, sir, my brother.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Watkins. This is Dean.
Hey, my brother.
Yeah. My question is basically simple, but it could be complicated. I love bread. So can either one of you give me some advice on what to look for in terms of bread, or should it be just taken off the table completely?
So there are lots of different types of bread. I don't think you have to take it off completely. If you're buying bread, I go for the Ezekiel sprouted grain bread or sprouted grain bread in general, because when things are sprouting, you get a lot more nutrition from them. There's more protein. There's just more everything. So the sprouted grain bread from the Ezekiel bread, I think it's a Food for Life brand, is good. You get the organic. It doesn't have all the additives and preservatives. That's why it's in the frozen part of the store, because it will go bad quickly because it doesn't have that. So you want to avoid the refined wheat and all of that. The simple bread, the bread that you can ball up like glue, that's the one that isn't going to be good. And you're going to eat a lot of it because it's just air and flour. And some cases, sugar and things like that, or preservatives that you don't like. So you want to get a clean source of bread. If you get the sprouted grain bread, you eat less of it because it's more filling and it's real food as opposed to fluffy flour. So that would be my recommendation for the bread. Or you can even, make your own flat breads with coconut flour or almond flour or, brown rice flour, other things like that, if you want to go that route.
Now, I sprouted ingredients, is that on the
it's on the label, yeah. So you got to read the label. I remember that most of the information on the front of the package is marketing. The real story is in the ingredients. So you just have to read the ingredients. I immediately just turn everything over and see what's in it, because the front is just misleading marketing most of the time.
Okay, I'll look.
But it will say
I read the label all the time too.
Or sprouted berries. It will say sprouted grains.
Let me add something as well as far as Food to Life. I think that's the name of the brand.
Foods for Life. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. If you're gluten intolerant, they do make a gluten-free bread.
Right.
As well, it's expensive, but
yeah, which lets me know to eat less of it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I tend to eat less bread when it costs more like that.
Yeah,
and it's going to be a taste difference too, because you're probably used to the very soft, bread, and this isn't that.
That's good.
Yeah, you get used to it. So yeah.
So but you can make your own. You can make your own.
You can. Yeah.
So for the sugar junkie, You know, what can we say about splurging with some dessert?
I have a book on a chapter rather on that, on how to splurge without killing yourself, right? So you can do that. I have several recipes on splurging, because you know we want to eat clean, but sometimes you want something that's going to have a few more, you know, it's going to have a little more fat or a little more nuts or something in it, but still it doesn't overdo it, and very healthy. So like I have a cashew cream fettuccine is incredible. A butternut squash lasagna, that's one of my favorites. And then I'm Southern, so I like my yellow grits, and then I fancied it up with some leeks and mushrooms on there. And I usually do a side of like tempeh bacon with it. So there's recipes for that, those kind of things. And baked buffalo cauliflower wings. There's nothing unhealthy about it, but it feels like a splurge, right? Just because we're used to that hot wing sauce and things like that. So yeah, there's a splurge chapter. There's a sweets chapter in the book. And if you're looking for where to get the book, it's on my website, which is rubylathan.com. That's RubyLathon.com. And you'll see a button there that says pre-order. The books will be going out in about 2 weeks. So you can order that now. And so, yeah, I'm excited about it. And then the last chapters are the family chapter where, you know, all my family cooks something at varying degrees of proficiency, with my mother being like the master chef and my aunt. So I have some of their recipes that I have veganized. And then I have my dad, my sister.
You veganized them.
Yes.
you baptized them.
Exactly. Like my sweet potato pie that everybody loves was from my Aunt Ruby, who I'm named after. So she gave me the recipe. I veganized it, and it's really, really good. And so That recipe is in there. And then we have a whole chapter on, you know, healthy sweets too. So you can definitely still have your sweets. You know, some of the sweeteners are dates and things like that without using the processed white sugar.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that really surprised me when I was, you know, getting some information for our diabetes program is that these dry fruits tend to raise the blood sugar because of the fiber content.
Right. Exactly. So when we're using dates with you know, some walnuts and raw cacao powder, now we're adding fiber and antioxidants and all the things. So you're not going to get that blood sugar spike that you would from traditional sweets. So absolutely. And I'd like to mention, you know, when people are doing recipes, they're always like, well, how many calories are in this? How long does this take? How easy is this to make? All of that is in each recipe, how long it's going to take, whether it's easy, intermediate, or advanced, the calorie count, the fiber, all of that stuff that people always want to know, it's all there. So we took our time to analyze each and every recipe for that. So you have all that information available. If you're calorie counting and you want to know how much this is going to be, it's right there for you. And if you're like, I need it easy, just flip to the ones that say easy, and you know it's going to take 20 minutes and you can be done.
Yes. Growing up, my mother made us do everything but cook. All right. But one day I got the taste for some candy yams. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but I can't. I escaped from being a sugar junkie. So I said I can't put any sugar in. So I got my sweet potatoes, and I cooked those things. I got me some dates, and I ground those dates up, and some distilled water, and I got my pineapple, cut it up, and some walnuts, and oh mercy!
Yeah, that sounds good.
I mean, it was delicious.
Yeah.
And I said, if my mom was here, she'd be jealous.
Yes, that's good. I actually have a sweet potato muffin recipe in there, but yes, and a sweet potato souffle recipe as well.
Oh.
With coconut.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so yeah, that sounds good. Absolutely. Sweet potatoes don't need a lot of sugar to be good.
No, yeah. No, they don't. Matter of fact, sweet potatoes are very, very good. And what messes up the sweet potatoes is what we put on them.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, well, I'm excited. I went through your tutorial and I was very, very excited, to see that you have given our community something that they can actually sink their teeth into and get healthy while enjoying themselves. And so I just want to thank you for your stellar work. And
yes. Yes.
We knew when you said it was coming, it would be awesome.
It's more than awesome.
It's been a long time coming, so I'm excited that it's finally out and folks can order it right now on my website, rubylathan.com, rubylathon. Look for the button that says pre-order Dr. Ruby's cookbook and you're there. And so I'm super proud of it. I'm happy to share it with folks, and I know it will help a lot of people because it's not just a cookbook. It is a, like you said, a tutorial on eating healthy.
Any last words, Brother Frank?
Yes. Dr. Ruby, give your contact information.
Sure. The best way to contact me is via email at info@rubylathan.com. That's info@rubylathan.com, or you can also contact me through my website. There are tabs there for that at rubylathan.com, rubylathon.com.
And you can order the book from there as well.
Yes, absolutely. You can order the book. That's the only place you can order it right now.
All right. Recap the services that you provide.
Sure. So as a holistic nutritionist, I provide nutrition consultations, nutrition plans that help people address their various issues. We also have a meal delivery service that uses several of the recipes in the book that we prepare for you and deliver to your house every Sunday is delivered. A weekly meal delivery service there that follows the guidelines of a healthy plant-based eating. And so those are, and I have online courses that you can see as well. So nutrition coaching, meal delivery, online courses, it's all there, cover all the bases. As well as now the cookbook that you can have and make things yourself.
Yes, yes. All right. Thank you, Doc. Dr. Ruby, and thank you, Dr. Watkins. If you want to contact Dr. Watkins, 202-388-0992, Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5, or go to www.twiliving.com. We want to thank all the staff, including our engineers at WPFW. We want to thank the programmers, volunteers, and loyal listeners. Thank you, Oladari and Maccabee, for your music contribution. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. Listen in next Monday for another life-changing edition of To Your Health. Thank you, Kalia.
No dead eyes, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish, or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat.
WPFW, in collaboration with Parks and People, will have a Jazz and Justice Festival June 22nd from 12 to 8 p.m. at Malcolm X Park. Malcolm X Park is atop Meridian Hill at 16th and Euclid Northwest, 6 blocks from the Columbia Heights Green Line Metro and next to the 14th and 16th Street bus lines. The Josephine Butler Center sits adjacent to it. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
That's for the struggle. That's for the pain.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. President Trump's new travel ban took effect today. This ban, which was signed last week, will prevent citizens from 12 mainly African and Middle Eastern countries from coming to the U.S. The travel ban applies to citizens of Afghanistan, Myanmar, Chad, the Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. It also puts heightened restrictions on people from Burundi, Cuba, Laos, Sierra Leone, Togo, Turkmenistan, and Venezuela who are outside the U.S. and don't hold a valid visa. The president's travel ban does not revoke visas previously issued to people from countries on the list. However, unless an applicant meets narrow criteria for an exemption to the ban, his or her application will be rejected starting today. The situation in Los Angeles, California has calmed down after, quote, probably one of the most volatile nights in the city, according to officials. The chaos erupted Friday after dozens of people were detained by federal immigration agents across different locations, which sparked protests and resulted in many arrests. One source saw police using stun grenades and tear gas to disperse the crowds, with some hitting protesters, in addition to seeing protesters set self-driving cars on fire. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass spoke to reporters about the incident, stating this message to city residents directly.
I want the people of Los Angeles to know that we stand with all Angelenos, no matter where you were born. The First Amendment right gives you the ability, again, to protest peacefully, but it does not give you the right to be violent, to create chaos, or to vandalize property, and that will not be tolerated.
About 300 National Guard troops are on the ground after President Trump deployed them to protect federal personnel and property in Los Angeles. It's the first time in decades that a president has called in the National Guard without a state's request or consent. Almost 3 months ago, on March 15th, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a man living in Prince George's County, Maryland, with his wife and children, was wrongly deported to El Salvador, his native country. Last Friday, he was brought back to the United States, to Tennessee specifically, to face criminal charges. These charges are related to what the Trump administration says was a large human smuggling operation that helped transport immigrants who were in the U.S. illegally. Administration officials said Garcia was deported based on a 2019 accusation from Maryland police that he was an MS-13 gang member. Abrego Garcia, however, denied the allegation and was never charged with the crime. Rather, in the same year of 2019, a court order barred Abrego Garcia from being deported to El Salvador due to fear of persecution. Garcia's attorney said his case is not over until the government is, quote, held responsible for their elaborate effort to disparage him. Plans are underway for a massive military parade celebrating the Army's 250th birthday this Saturday. The event, which is set to bring over 200,000 people to the National Mall, also coincides with the President's 79th birthday. The parade will start at 6:30 p.m. Saturday and go along Constitution Avenue from 23rd Street to 15th Street Northwest. There will also be a military flyover to mark the occasion, resulting in the temporary closure of Reagan National Airport from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on Saturday. Festivities will include fireworks, a concert, celebrity appearances, and a showcase of hundreds of military vehicles and equipment, including Army tanks. The celebration will cost $45 million and a portion of that cost will cover any damage done to DC roads.